You may want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. If I seem a little fuzzy, it's just because the Tylenol or the whatever the other stuff kicked in. I start hallucinating or seeing visions of the Virgin Mary, just maybe lead me off the stage here. But I want to speak about stewardship as part of our 30-day church challenge. We've only got one left. So here's this one is on, what do we, see, here's the dilemma. It's one thing to come to Christ, but where do you go from there? Because all you have to offer the Lord are three things. And to the degree that you will learn how to work these three things, to that degree, I believe that you'll be successful in your life and you'll be a blessing to God and to the church and to everywhere else. So stewardship lies at the very heart of the Christian faith. Because it has to do with our lives and what we do with the parts of our lives that are made up by these things. Our time. Stewardship has to do with how you spend your time. It has to do with how you spend your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your skills. You can use them for yourself, you can use them to make money, or you could use it for God. But you need to do something with it. So our time, our talents, and our treasure. Now, I know there'll be somebody here this morning who's never been at our church, and here I am talking about money, and they're going to say, you know, wherever I go to those churches, they're always speaking of, well, I think I can safely say and honestly say that you cannot remember the time I spoke on tithing and giving, because we don't make a big deal about it in many ways. Maybe we should, but we just feel that God looks after those things. And so I am talking this morning a little bit about the treasures having to do with the money and how we spend our money. But these three things are important to look at because of Matthew 6:21. And here's a little phrase. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. Isn't that great? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here's the question. It's a good question. Who owns my wallet? God. God. But most of us don't live like that. See, that's a good question. Who owns my schedule? Yeah. Who owns my gifts and my talents? God. He owns it. But I need to make sure that I know who has ownership. All of us who come out of a corrupt world system, we need to break the power of mammon. We need to break. See, Jesus said, you cannot, now picture this, you cannot serve both God and money. You will serve one or the other, but you won't serve them both. And you can't serve God and money according to Jesus. So we know that comes on really, really good strength from Scripture. So the starting point is getting it straight in my mind that anything I have is not my own, it's been given to me. And if that gets into your heart, you will be a very, very richly endowed person in your life, because you'll have it straight. You'll get it, and you'll be right. Psalm 24:1 is the kickoff on this, where he says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." What part? All of it's his. He says, "All of it's mine. I own everything." By the way, when we talk about giving, sometimes we present it as if God needed money. We got to help God out. We're going to pass an offering. I don't know how it's going to go, but God needs some money. And we're going to do it. And we know you've got it, so cough it up. No, but yet I can see how we do that. You see, God doesn't need anything. All the cattle on the hills, on 1,000 hills, are his. All the silver, all of it is his. Kingdoms are set up and pulled down because of what God wants. So that's the strength he has. Everything belongs to the Lord. Now, if I see that, my life will be transformed. If I don't see that, there will be a struggle. In the book, when you're reading it this week, it's very good. I can't remember how it totally went, but it was about this little child, and it's a very self-centered stage of their life. And it got into a little argument with their sister or brother, and mine. And then they're shoving each other, right? He said, no, you can get it. No, mine. And then the kid goes berserk and goes, mine. Trying to put their sibling in in a corner, I guess. So I thought, you know, we've all been there. Right? We've all been there. When we say to God, this is mine. You can have that, but I'm going to keep all the rest. And we say, no, you can't live your life like that. See, God is our source. Anything that comes, it doesn't come from your employer. It doesn't come from your company. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from the Lord. And when you see your source is God, then you will treat it differently. That it may be that your salary is coming from the government. It may be that you are a business person and that's how you earn your money. But that's not where it comes according to God. God says he owns it all. And I thought, yeah, that's, see, if you don't see him as the owner of everything, you'll always be hesitant about giving up things. And after all, that's our security, isn't it? North America, especially, money is our security. That makes us feel good. I've got so much money, therefore I'm okay. And we worship money. And that's why Jesus mentions more about money than about hell. Isn't that interesting? He would. But he knows about all things, and he owns it all. And he wants me to know that I'm at the very, 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 the least I am, I'm a steward. I'm a manager. He lets me manage some money. Now, many here, see, the Bible says that God gives people the ability to make money. I believe that. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice that some of you were here. You just have a thing about being able to turn a dollar, and it's a gift you have, and you can make money. Right? Now, you know, a lot of people who can make money can't manage money, but that's another story. But they can make money. I had a friend, he said he drove a Bentley. I don't know about that. That was maybe a bit much in my mind, but of course, as I told the first group this morning, some years back, we were in the BMW. No, I don't know where we were. Anyway, it was BMW sports coupe that was on display, and I said, "Oh, I should sit in there." And I sat in this thing, and I was immediately enveloped by leather, and that smell. Wow, you know. And I said to Val, just joking, but I said, "Yeah, I think God wants me to have this." She says, "Yeah, right." No, I said, I wouldn't feel what I'm feeling if he didn't, you know. This is really cool. How do I look in it? She says, "Get out and get in the Toyota." Yeah, well, I'm kind of glad. At any rate, my friend, boy, he could really, he just had a knack. It got him in trouble sometimes, but he, and I know that God gave him that ability because on the good side of it, he gave thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to the Lord's work. All right, so it was used for good. And that's the whole point of this. So let's just talk about this for a few minutes. Number one, if God is the owner, if God is, and we are only stewards and managers, we need to come to grips with this. Everything in life is a test. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. By the way, just to set the record clear, I'm aware that tithing is an Old Testament principle. It starts in, the tithe was mandatory, and we recognize that, but we also recognize in the New Testament, although it's not mentioned in the New Testament, there is a greater premise, and that is proportional giving. So let's just say the single mom comes to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and puts her $110, $120. She tithes. The tithe, by the way, is always 10. When we say tithes and offerings, we're talking about 10%. And so she comes forward, or she hands the money, and so she's put $120 in. Okay, that'd be 10%. Now she's only got X amount left. So it takes a lot of faith. Right? It takes a lot of faith to live like that. So let's just say Mr. Patterson from the Patterson Group. Now, he comes and he puts his in. And the point of it is, though, he could give more. Proportional giving, I'm going to read in this in a few minutes. Proportional giving is, what the problem of it, just locking into the tithe, is that you've done your duty and that's now I've paid God off and I don't have to do anything anymore. When it may be that God wants you to give more proportionately, right? Proportionately to what you make. So let me read Malachi. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O you children of Jacob, Well, therefore, you children of Jacob are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? You are robbing me. Is that? I know that's an Old Testament thought, but nevertheless, we have to look at it. Robbing God? Is there a way that I've been robbing God? Perhaps. Yet you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And the Lord said, in your tithes and contributions. Under law, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and therefore put me to the test. Put me to the test, says the Lord. So, what are we saying? That the sons of Jacob, Jacob, trickster, right, cheater, deceiver. That's who you are. Everybody would know. That's what his name meant. But I am the Lord of hosts. I am that I am. I'm still God. So here's, when we say this, that everything in life is a test. If we believe God is God, the Lord of hosts, then we automatically, I believe, will give back, and we will entrust and give back everything to him because we know who he is. I'm giving to the Lord, and that he will take care of me. So there's a chance, millions of times in life where you have an opportunity to see who your source is. If it's the Lord, if I'm not convinced that God is generous, I won't give much. If I'm not convinced that God is able to make all grace abound to me, then I'll be stingy. And I've had battles when I was younger, especially because I didn't know how this thing worked. Val and I, actually, we were married. Maybe I'll tell that story first. When we were married, we weren't sure what to do. So we would pay all the bills, and then we'd see what was left to see what we could give to the Lord's work. You know what? Every single time for years, God always got the short end of the stick. It didn't matter how we did that. Oh, well, looks like, not sorry, God. We wanted to give. You know our hearts, though. We wanted to give, but we didn't have it, you know. So finally we said, you know, we must be doing something wrong. Surely there must be some. And then we said, we felt the Lord say to us, pay me first. Take that off the top. Well, that was 40 years ago. Right, 40 years ago, we never, ever have gone without. The Lord has always been faithful, a lot bigger and longer than we ever, ever could imagine. And for us, the secret was, look after the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean don't pay your bills. The bills have to be paid. But it's the Lord has been faithful. I remember when I was a single guy, I'd have struggles when the offering would come by. And I got a 20 and a 10. We'll say 20 and 10. And the plate's getting closer and closer. And I said, I think I'll give the 20. And a voice says, no, don't give the 20. You won't have enough then. No, hang on to the 20, give the 10. And I have this battle. I realize that the enemy is talking to me. And finally I say, shut up, Satan, or I'm going to give it all. I'll give every bit of it. And then I'll fix your wagon. So I just didn't know what to do because we weren't clear in our mind. I wasn't clear that God was our source. So I said, there's not going to be enough, right? Because the reason, by the way, that we do tithe, and there's many, many people in our church that are tithers who've been tithing for years, so you know this is true, is they've never, God always looked after you, but you know, God doesn't need your money. Make sure you're clear on that. He's got lots, lots and lots and lots. He doesn't need your money. It's you. It will cause you to live by faith. Right? When you say, well, Lord, you're going to have to bless me. Yes. You're going to have to look after me. Yes. Because I'm stepping out. But here's what we've discovered. If there's two, if this is 100%, this one container, if we take 10% of that's 90%. Right? So we only got 90 now. 10% is gone to the Lord. On the other side here is that here's a full one. Well, we've discovered a miracle that you have more. It works out better more with the 90% than it does with the 100%. So much so, we'd be afraid to stop giving. because we see God's blessing. For example, it might be just got a sale on something, right? Something else worked out. Somebody said, I just feel I should give this to you. Somebody else, and we look back and we say, boy, it's not always back in money, but it's in blessings in your life. And also, to cause us to look to God. Everybody would like that extra 10%, right? I think everybody would say, yeah, I could use that 10%, and I understand that. So when we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give 10%, you say, I don't know. This could get kind of expensive. I remember years ago, a fellow came to see me. He asked me if I would pray for him for God to bless him, and I was glad to. And I prayed blessings on his business. He came in about 6 months later. He said, I have a dilemma. My tithe is too big. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's too, you know, when I was first starting out in this thing, he said, I don't know if I can afford to tithe because it's so big. He said, when it was that, it was okay. Now it's such a big tithe and seems to be a lot going towards God. My words, not his. And I said, oh, that's no problem. We'll just kneel down again like we did 6 months ago. And we'll just ask God to make your tithe smaller. Oh, it'll be smaller. It's going to be really small. I said, you see, my point was, when it was just a few hundred dollars, he didn't worry about it. But when it got big, well, maybe, you know, I think I'm going to cut back here. I said, the reason why God blessed you is because we asked him to. He's a generous God and a good God. So, if you believe God's a good God, therefore, it's him who says, test me. Test me. Don't take anybody's word for it. Just see what it works, how it works out. He said, see if I will not do all these things for you. So with that in mind, I said, yeah, that's the kind of God. But if you're not convinced he's a good God, that he's going to look after you, then you have to get protective. Then you have to get stingy. Then you have to get possessive about it. Say, oh, okay, two for me, one for God. Oh, boy, I don't know about this. Instead of being generous. There's the whole point of this is we want to be generous people. It's part of the lifestyle of a New Testament church. So turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know there's more that could be said about this, but it'll suffice for the moment. 2 Timothy chapter 10, or 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. Oh, by the way, the context is that the saints in Jerusalem had a huge need. There was a drought or a famine going on there, and so they asked if the church would, in Corinth, would take up an offering and give it. So he's speaking about the giving, the cheerful giver. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Always see, never give to the church, sow to the kingdom. In your mind, that's it. I'm not giving it to the church. I'm giving it to God, who blesses me, looks after me. I'm giving it to God. So if I sow sparingly, I will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, i.e. giving, will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart. Don't be caught up. I was at a gathering not so long ago, and there was a strong appeal for an offering, like $50,000 or something it was. And I not that I didn't want to give to her, but Val wasn't with me to ask her what she thought about this. So I didn't give. They repealed again. They even asked several times till finally, you know, you're feeling you should just do it because you feel so guilty. But I said, no. I must decide in my heart. It can't be an emotional thing you get home. And you say, why did I do that? Years ago, there used to be a guy that came to our church that had one of the biggest record collections you've ever seen. Man, this was a gigantic record collection. And especially a Beatles, the Beatles records. I mean, it was like a museum in there. And he got saved. And on impulse, he just gave away all this collection. This was worth a lot of money. He gave it all away because he was going to follow Jesus. The only problem is about three weeks later, he's really upset. What was I thinking? But somebody told him, he said, that he needs to be a true disciple and give up all his worldly goods. So he gave it all away, and then he's kicking himself, and he wants to know if he can spin a deal with God that if I get my records back. I thought, yeah, no, he see, that was not being led. The Spirit of God can lead us in this. Sometimes you'll feel like doing something. Sometimes you won't sense that. You must go. You can't go on what somebody thinks I should give. Right? I must give. I guess what I feel the Lord would have me do. And therefore, when we say, let's just bow our heads and ask what the Lord would have you do. Now, that could be used as a guilt tool too. But I mean, when it's honestly said, just pray about it. If not, then don't feel anything, any obligation. So let me carry on with this. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So if there's any pressure, it's the wrong kind. It must be a willingness to say, I want to give. And God is able. Oh, I go back. This is so good. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. However, he will receive from a grouch. He would prefer it if there was a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Boy, I know I'm okay if there's great grace upon me, right? If there's great grace upon you. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound. It's talking financially. That you would abound in every good work, as it is written. He is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Wow. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And it goes on, concludes by saying, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So many things to praise the Lord about. I need to commend you as a church. This is a generous church. But we could always be more generous. It's like growth, right? We're growing, but we could always grow more. And I would think, let's not sit back. You see, sometimes you get into routines and ruts. And we need to really say, but this is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. That God said, I want to bless you. But the secret out of that was because, you know, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running all over. So grace gives us the opportunity today to take the stewardship test. In other words, do I really love the Lord? Do I believe that he'll look after me? That's a great thing. So if you don't trust God, you'll never be a giver. You'll be too reluctant. You'll be too stingy. I know it's in me too. It just will be. And you won't be generous. The goal here is that we would all learn, because we get it, that we will be generous people when it comes to finances. And the Lord would guide us in this and direct us in this. See, when we never give, when we never give tithes and we never give offerings, when we aren't generous in our own giving, it's a sure sign of self-centeredness. Now, let me say this, not harshly, but firmly. You know, there are many churches, and this one here, I better tell you this. I've been here 26 years, and I've never seen God fail once. Right? So I've never, never, ever, ever. God's always been so faithful, more than we deserve. But I have never looked at the books. Honestly, I haven't. Why am I telling you that? So you know. I don't know what you give or what you don't give. So that's between you and God. I don't want to know. Then I say, Click on the screen. I thought we should have a camera actually following the giving. Don't you look, coffee? Maybe I better put that 20 in. But I'm glad I don't. But therefore, I can exhort you, and we know that... it's nobody else's business but your business, but that you'd be generous. And sometimes people, they put $20 in the offering plate and think they did God a favor. You know, they spend more on coffee than they ever spend in giving. And you know, the church in North America, if, I think I even wrote this down, Marcel said it this week. If not, I'll just tell you what it said. Anyway, here it is. that if the church in North America just tithed, we could eliminate third world debt completely. Imagine that. I sense that's probably true. There wouldn't be a church in the world that had financial troubles if they see, to me, financial struggle is often a spiritual struggle. And there are churches that are going under. And they say, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that. And why? He said, well, there's no money. Mm-hmm, gotcha. But this is, look at this church. It's possible it could grow and it could be all kinds of things. But there are churches that are broke because they haven't followed the scriptural principles. Right? I just think there's some truth to that. And the self-centeredness, see, that's what we're trying to break. That we'd be dependent on the Lord and we'd be generous to other people. So we're not saying mine, all mine, 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 but the Lord's and how I could be a blessing to people. So money is a tool that I use to show God and to show God's people to whom I belong and what I value. Right? I find that many people who really have a thing about the... how much they spend on those chairs. Yeah? How was that music equipment? What did that cost? Spend a lot of money. It's a pretty fancy piano. Do you need it? Yeah. You know that person? I can guarantee you one thing. They don't give. Nobody who gives ever asks that. Never. You're just glad to be able to give. Whatever it costs. Well, whatever it costs, it costs. But I'm grateful for that piano. I'm grateful for things, right? But you say, you get people, they always say, oh, the church, all they do is talk about. No, we don't talk about money all the time. We don't. But we do believe that if you pass on from this church to some other church somewhere else, I'd like to be able to think, you said, you know, they really encouraged us with the secret of living is giving. And I learned that in that church. That would be a great, great honor. And it doesn't mean you may give much to the church here, you may give much to World Vision. I don't know who you're going to give to. My point is that to be a giver. So giving is investing. It's investing. Don't give your money away. Sow it to the kingdom so that you're going to come back and there's going to be a reward someday. You're going to see your money on the other side. See, money is a tool that I use to show God and his people that I belong to the Lord. And whole life stewardship goes way beyond money, way, way, way beyond money. See, everything in life is a tool, our time, our talents, our treasures, and our stuff, right? Our stuff. Here's the question. Is it God's house? I mean, if you bought a house you've got a house, is it God's house? That's good to clear in mind. Is it God's car? Because maybe Brody wants to borrow your car. Well, I don't know. Whose car is it? God's car, right? It's God's car. Now, you're not going to lend to a fool, but you're not. What I'm saying is, but if somebody needs it, right? If somebody needs my help, I say, well, I've already put in 45 hours this week. I don't know if I'd be available or not. Well, who owns my schedule? See, these are the things that are really, really important. Is it God's money or is it my money? And then I can be free and ask God to break any strongholds off my life that might be there. Thirdly, everything in life is a trademark. Here's a definition of trademark. You know what a trademark looks like on an item. A device pointing directly to the origin or ownership of merchandise to which it is applied and legally reserved to the exclusive use of the owner. Right, you know that when you cannot touch that logo at Starbucks. That trademark is worth zillions, right? It's legally reserved to the exclusive use of the owner. So I say, wow, simply put, to whom do I belong? Can people look at my life and see distinct characteristics that point directly to God? Generous man, generous woman. Helping the poor, reaching out to people, giving where you're able to give. You heard about a need and you decided to give to it. That's a trademark. that everything I am or ever hope to be is all about the Lord. We give because we love the Lord. We give because he loves us and we know he'll look after us and that he will give us wisdom in all of these matters. See, everything I have is just an indication of the one whom I belong to. You know, for example, Matthew, I'm not sure where that is, but anyway, it's in Matthew. And he simply, and Jesus said this, the laborers are few. I said, what? The harvest is great, but the laborers, oh, that's Matthew 9:37. Few laborers. How could that be? Because somebody didn't understand stewardship. They might have been giving, but they didn't give of their time. They didn't give of their talents. How could it be that the laborers are few? Where are the laborers? They're busy. They're making money. I was telling in the first service that I remember a fellow came in, very super sincere. I didn't know him very well, but I instantly liked him. And we got talking, and he said, you know why I come to see you? I've come to see you because I want to make a difference. I want to make my life count. I said, well, wow. I said, this is the best part of my day today. That's great. So, well, let's talk about it. So we talked about it for a while. I said, so when do you think you could do this and this and this? Oh, it'd be great. I'm sure we can. We'll talk to other people and get you involved in it. I said, when are you available? Thursday? No, not Thursday. No, I got my squash or whatever it was. I said, oh, okay. Tuesday? Yeah, a little tight. Saturday? No, I got it. That's not going to work too well. You know when it would be? Thursday afternoon between 2 and 4. Are you serious? He wasn't kidding. That's when he's available. The laborers are few, my friend. His whole life is scheduled. Now he's trying to find the will of God. You see, you say, I guess if I'm going to do something, it might cost me. It might be, right? If I'm going to recognize that my schedule is the Lord's and I must pray over that. And by the way, if I meet with you, Sean, it better be good, right? Because I've taken an hour out of his life. I've taken an hour out of his life. So as good stewards, you have to guard that. You can't, some people will drain you. And being a good steward is not to give in to every time they want. You know, you have to have some kindly guidelines on that because you only have one life. And this whole thing of our time. See, it's passing by. And I realize this, that in the age of my life right now, I think I've got some mileage still ahead, but I'm seeing something here. That if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to be used of the Lord, I must dedicate not just my money to Christ, but I must dedicate my time and my talents. And I can't be doing things that I'm not gifted for. I must do those things that God has equipped me, that I do well, that I could be a blessing to people. But listen, time is going by. Don't be here 5 years from now and you said, yeah, I should have done that. Right, it's something very satisfying about living a life that's well lived and for the glory of God, for God's purposes. And so everything in life is a tool that determines how well we do on the test. And everything in life is a trademark that reveals to whom we belong. You belong to the Lord, there should be some telltale things. Generosity, kindness, taking time for people. Saying, hey, I don't mind investing that in that guy because that's God's going to go places with that person. So whatever it would be, just be aware of it, that living is giving. And we give of ourselves. But I thought I'm gonna pray more about that thing, about the laborers are few. That has to change. Maybe it's a universal thing, I don't know. But I do know this, that when God blesses a man, when God blesses a woman, when God blesses a family, when God blesses a nation, he blesses them so they can be a blessing to others. I hope that you get that house that you've been praying about. I really do. And then we'll tell you what night the small group is on. Right? Nothing wrong with that house. Bless you for it. Enjoy every day of every minute of it. And then use it for the God's glory. Right? Say, how could this house be used? Lord, is there anything that I could do? And there may be different things. But if God blesses us, not for to keep for ourselves. It's our lives could be used for the glory of God. Is it wrong to have a nice car? No, as long as you let me have a ride in it. Right? It's not wrong at all. Is it wrong to say, I got a new golf club? Well, good for you. Take somebody out golfing. There's all kinds of purposes here that can be fulfilled. But you have to see it that we've only got three things in life. Once we come to the Savior, we have stewardship. What will we do with our lives from this point till when Christ comes for us? How will we live? What will we do with this stuff? Because I don't want to get to the end and say, rats, I missed it. I have invested all my time on the wrong thing. I missed it. I should have. Well, this is the opportunity to offer yourself to God and say, God, I love you. I thank you for saving me out of a dark pit. And I want my life to be used for you. I want to be generous in my giving. Right? I pray, God, that you will just entrust to me people that I can invest my life into them, my time. See, I can even see things. I like television. That's a curse sometimes. Not that it's a bad thing, what I'm watching. It's just that the hours go by. And now the winter time, it's always worse too, right? So Val and I have talked. We say, okay, we have to select things. So we don't say, oh, it's raining out. You know, I can't go for a walk in this. But we want to be good stewards of our time. Have our favorite programs, yes, but guard that so that other things could be done as well. I'd like you to stand, if you would. Time, talents, and treasures. That's all you got. You know, speaking of giving, I'll tell you a good story because he's gone to heaven. Brother Pritchard would often speak here, especially when he was well. And sure enough, anything, we'd give him, I don't know what we gave him, we'd say $100. He would come in to the office, not a word, just write a check for 10%. Before we even cashed the check at this end, or his end, he'd already tithed on it. He tithed on his honorarium. He's retired. But I know that he is a giver. And he was a giver right to the end of his days. He's very generous. Very, very generous. He told me, and I think he told this different ones, he said, I have more money than I've ever had in my whole life. I thought, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. He said, I don't need it. No, he didn't need it all. But that's how generous God. And I thought, these are lessons, right? These are lessons people teach us. And I know this. When I hang around generous people who know how to give, boy, it's contagious. And I like to think that here we are, not wasting our life in any way, but in the series that we've been studying on, that our time, our treasures, our talents will be offered to God. So, Lord, it's with grateful hearts that we thank you for the privilege of being able to be here this morning. There are people in the hospital. There are people in jail. There's people in places. They would give anything to be sitting here this morning. So we thank you. And Lord, we want to thank you for all your blessings in our lives. Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray there won't be an ounce of condemnation here this morning, but there would be a great motivation to look at their giving and ask, does God have my wallet? Lord, to look at our schedules, to ask if you have our schedule. We thank you for speaking to us. And we bless you this morning. I pray, God, you will prosper us that we can be a blessing to more people. Deliver us from self-centeredness. Deliver us, God, from stingy giving and just being selfish. Lord, we want our hearts to change. And we want to be known, the trademark of our life was that we get it and we give. Lord, I pray that the laborers will not be few around here. Let there be many, many laborers. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What we want to do this morning, first of all, if you have a connection card that you need to tell us something or you need to record your visit, just put it in the envelope, and you can put it in those boxes at the corners. That would be good if you did that. And also, if you come for prayer, that you'd come over here. And also, if you come for coffee, you'd go out that door. I think it's a bit warmer now. But we're really glad you came this morning, and the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.